You sometimes hear different things sometimes than we read, and you know, each way is a little bit different. And struck me today as Tiny Tim. You all know Tiny Tim. He's the one that is crippled. And according to the story of the Christmas Carol, unless something is done by the future ghost that shows up with Scrooge, Tiny Tim will have died. And so that's kind of the individual. And Tiny Tim is, of all the people in the story, probably as positive and upbeat as any of the individuals dealing with what he has to deal with. And you understand, of course, that in times back then when this story would have taken place, there wasn't much that could be done for the most part for a child that had born crippled, especially if the family was poor, not to mention how difficult that was. But there is this story, a part of the story, a scene, for lack of a better word, where Tiny Tim and his dad have returned from church. And Tiny Tim says to his father and mother and the family, it was good to be at church. And they said, well, how come, Tiny Tim? And he said, because I like it when people can see me there. And they can see the crippledness that's in me. And I pray that it reminds them of the one who came to save and heal the cripples, to save and bring healing to the blind, because that's what I hope they remember when they look at me. And he meant it in just a beautiful, very tender-hearted way, that even in his crippledness, he had a ministry, a testimony, a statement to share with the fellowship on Christmas Eve that Tiny Tim was sharing. I, like most of you, like to say Merry Christmas and things like that. And I go, I don't know if you know it or not, but God's goal in Christmas is not your happiness. I don't know if you know that. God's goal in Christmas is your wholeness, your completeness. Everything that has been stolen from you by sin, everything you've given away and sold and gave away as you grew up, every part of your pain and suffering, your agony, your difficulty, your attitude, all that stuff, God didn't come to just make you happy so you can giggle and laugh over a few presents and hopefully some cookies and food and all the rest of the stuff we enjoy, but that he came to bring a wholeness into our lives, a completeness, to give back what Satan has stolen from us, to give back what life has stolen from us, to give back to us a strength, an integrity, a purity, a confidence, an understanding, a purpose, a goal, a meaning, a wholeness of life. Now, I don't want to diminish the fact that when you're whole in Christ, that it does change your attitude, and it would obviously change it, hopefully, for the better. But you have to understand, there's a whole different purpose when one person says, I've come to make you whole. That means he isn't necessarily going to ask you, what will make you happy tonight? All right, I want a truck this big and this high with four ladders. You ever remember that when you were little? A boy, a girl, I don't know. A doll this big and she's got to do this and that, whatever that doll was. And that will make me happy. All right? And God doesn't walk into our lives like that. God is not just a genie who has come to earth to give you the present you didn't get. It isn't that God isn't concerned about how that affected you or about how you respond to things like that. It's that God is very much concerned about who you are becoming and who you're growing into and what he had come to do in terms of your forgiveness and his mercy and his love in your life. One of the challenges that I want to read to you comes out of Isaiah. Beautiful little thought. Here comes Isaiah chapter 9. It's going to be one of my references. You don't have to necessarily turn there, but it goes, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the genie who will make us all happy. That's in my version. Did you skip that? You see, I want you to look at them again. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And you understand the power of those names. He's trying to communicate the ministry with which Christ came. If we think that Christmas is just a Hallmark story, right? And if you've ever watched the Hallmark stories, and they're fun to watch, especially at Christmas, there's always a situation. It frequently will have a relationship or a girl or a guy who's been without somebody or whose wife died or who hasn't found a boyfriend or some story like that. And then they go through this kind of difficult time. And the thing you kind of like about a Hallmark story, I even, you know, like it. I hate to admit it too loudly, but I watch them with my mom. And I don't make her change the station. They end happy. I mean, that's part of the mark, especially around Christmas time. I mean, you don't watch a Hallmark film or a Hallmark movie where and he walks away from her and never wants to see her again, you know. And she doesn't get a Christmas tree for Christmas. And she dies. You know, those would not exactly be the kind of stories that would attract us. But if we're not careful, we get challenged by this idea that Christmas is just this little happy ending story. And it isn't that the gospel doesn't have a good, a positive, or I can use the word happy ending. It's that the gospel is that Christ came to save me. And one of the things he came to save me from is myself. He came to save me from my shallowness, my stupidity, and all the other things that I have. And I think of that song, or not that song, that scene where Tiny Tim is going, I hope you look at a cripple and remember that Christ came to save cripples and sinners. I had a very good friend that wrote in my Bible at the beginning of Matthew, and wrong section here. Just let me find it. Wrote in my Bible at the beginning of Matthew, and he says, you know, a pastor is nothing more than a cripple in a wheelchair. He was trying to keep me in my place. Wonderful blessing. The truth is that we have stories and situations that cannot just be glossed over with a kiss at the end of the movie. They can't just be ignored, but they have power and weight to them. And they put pressure on our lives. And they pull out of us all kinds of different responses and attitudes and behaviors. And Christ has come to take and make a cripple a whole man, to teach me how to walk, to teach me how to move. Not that I do it yet, but I'm hoping as you look at the cripple in front of you, you understand that God is more than able to enter into my situation and your situation to bring life and hope and joy into this whole situation. A passage also out of Isaiah a little bit further on. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. See, the phrases in that little verse, that's the Christmas message. The Christmas message is, surely God is my salvation. I can't bring anything to a church service. I can't bring anything into your life. I can't bring anything half the time into the middle of my life to solve the problems that I or you or anyone else deal with. But the point of Christmas is they came to the manger. They saw God's solution. They understood the message. Christ entered into the garbage of life, into the circumstances of a real live world, into the stench of a stable, and he entered into it with a heart that wanted to meet me, a heart that wanted to find someone like me. That's why when the angels announce it, they don't go find the rich people or the popular people or the influential people. They go to the shepherds. They go to those people that are in need, those people that don't have much. Shepherds in certainly Roman culture were looked down on. They were treated as though they were rednecks or hillbillies or whatever word would stir that kind of thought in your mind. They weren't appreciated people. And here the angels come to this group and they proclaim the Savior has been born and they go to the manger and they get it. They understand. They recognize that God has called them and they respond to it. That's obviously the miracle of Christmas too. It isn't just learning or hearing the story. It's understanding that God has called us to respond to the manger. He has called us to look and see and recognize what the cradle, the manger, means to us, what the Savior means. And that's why that verse in Isaiah 12 said, I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The purpose of Christmas is for God to come into a situation like my life and yours and meet our needs where we're at. God did not ask us to go to Him. He chose to come to you. And so in the middle of whatever challenge you have, in the middle of whatever difficulty you have in your life, in your family, in a relationship, it isn't that God is against a Hallmark ending. It's just that God has to deal with more than even a Hallmark movie can deliver. God wants to walk into the middle of the drug addict's life, the prostitute's life, the frustrated husband's life, the disappointed wife's life, the child who's angry and rebellious, the person who thinks that the world is not delivering what they thought they should have by now, the frustrations that real life people have. God enters into that situation, and He has come, like I said, not just to bring happiness, but He has come to change us, make us whole. One of the things you're going to learn about Christ's power is this. Christ's power does not control you. Demonic forces control. That's why we always say they're possessed if you've seen a movie or something like that. Christ's power does not control. It transforms. It takes what you have and it creates new. It brings different purposes, different goals. It is the purpose of making you whole. The power of God is to transform, to metamorphosize, to turn you into someone that you were not born. So you don't have to keep going back and using the fact, I was born that way, or using the excuse, my mother, my father taught me to behave like this, or think like that, or I have a difficult time here or there. Those become excuses, and they ignore the power of Christ's transforming love for you. Christ came into the manger because He wanted to enter my life where exactly I'm at, and that becomes part of the miracle of that whole thing. The thing that you're going to understand as we finish off this last little verse, and I'm just reading it out of John 1, says, the Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Emmanuel, the song and the word we sang in multiple songs tonight, God with us. You see, the miracle of Christmas is God with us. You don't have to go someplace to find Him. God is seeking you. God is attempting to pick you up. God is attempting to reach into your circumstances. At school, when I try to teach the kids what it means, I kind of say, stand there, and I want to show you what God and the Holy Spirit are trying to do to you. And I have someone walk around trying to pick the person up. And the only way you stop from being picked up is by pushing the person away that's trying to pick you up. And so here I am trying to reach under and lift somebody off the ground to carry them into a different place. If they resist me, I can't pick them up. If they let me pick them up, I can carry them into whatever place I want to move them to. I said, that's the heart of God. That's the Christmas message. Christ is coming after you. Christ is seeking after you. Christ is longing to lift you up. Christ is longing to transform. Christ is longing to empower you. Christ is longing to give you what you cannot have on your own. And that becomes the challenge. And so when the Word became flesh and dwells among us, the Word is Emmanuel. The power of God's Word has come to tabernacle with us. The word in the Greek means to dwell in an ongoing way. You don't have to look for him. He is longing to pick you up. He is desiring to lift you out of that. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 40, where it talks about God lifting me out of the miry clay and putting me on a firm rock. And I love it because it's an image I always understand. I am always getting myself in the quicksand of life, in the garbage of my inconsistencies, and all the other things that I can do wrong. I am at best a cripple in a wheelchair. And yet God comes into my circumstances and lifts me out of the mire and the muck. He comes in, God with me, lifts me out, and he puts me in a spot, a position, a place, the rock, where I can stand, where I can seek forgiveness, where I can appreciate the mercy of God, where I can look at the same circumstances with different eyes. What would you see if you were Tiny Tim? Oh, I can't stand going to church. That sucks. Everybody looks at me because I'm such a cripple. Do you understand the power of being transformed? It takes the same pain, the same crippledness, the same set of eyes, the same mind, and it transforms it into a little boy that says, "Do you see Jesus? Do you know why I'm here? Because this is the place where the Messiah came. And he came to heal people like me. And one day I will walk. And one day I will do all the things that God has promised me." I want you to know that for your sake. You understand? A transformed heart does not have to be impacted by a lack of money. A transformed heart is not crippled because the body has been beaten down. A transformed heart is not limited because of a husband or a wife or a friend or an acquaintance. A transformed heart takes you right into the middle of the situation and gives you eyes and a testimony and a word that God empowers you to have. And so the challenge that I want you to remember this Christmas more than anything is Christ came to make you whole, to give to you what you need, to pour into your life those things that are absolutely vital, and to minister to the needs that you have. He longs to bless you. So much so, he came into the manger, so much so that the angels announced peace on earth, goodwill toward men, so much so that when you hear his message from the cross, it is finished, it is completed, it is done. I have done it for you. That becomes the message of the Christmas story and the account I want you to remember. Pray with me if you would. Lord, what a gracious gift. Life and freedom, purpose and meaning. I am at best a cripple in a wheelchair, Lord. And unless you sought and saved me, there would be no life in my heart or my spirit. Lord, unless you turn us around and transform us by a power that will not quit on us, unless you open our eyes, we will still continue to be people who remain crippled and bitter and frustrated and angry. And so, Lord, transform us tonight by the transforming power that was a part of the message of the angels, where darkness is broken, Lord, by the presence of your word and your messengers, where men who were alone on a hill suddenly become evangelists and preachers and people of testimony. Lord, open our hearts to that and bring that blessing into our lives, Lord. I pray, Father, over families tonight. I ask that you'd bless them. I pray that you'd guide fathers and mothers with a heart that would share that Christmas message with their children and their grandchildren. I pray, Father, that you would bless husbands and wives. Wherever there's hurt, wherever there's a lack of communication and understanding, I pray that you'd open up lines of communication and understanding words. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bring thoughts together so that people can begin to listen and hear and understand better than they ever have before. I pray, Father, for the gift that is needed to bring a blessing over the children and guard their hearts and spirits as they go through this time. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to accomplish your purposes. Lord, come and save our world. Start, Lord, in the heart of each one of us and give us that transforming power as only you can. And Lord, by your purpose and in your name, come and make this a Christmas that we truly remember, because you have sought after us, lifted us up, entered the manger of our lives, and did not quit. Come and save us, Emmanuel, God with us. And all God's people said, amen. We rise for the blessing and the closing prayer song here. We're going to first light our candles, and then we'll let them turn the lights out. If you take the unlit candle and put it into the flame, if you missed one, they're handing more out, please grab one. Feel free to do that. The message the shepherd carried is that Christ was born. The reason the message was as special as it was because as people entered into it, they understood. They understood the gospel message. Turn around. They understood the baby in a manger. They began to understand why a child. Just kind of turn around and light the person behind you. Nothing more powerful than the message that someone loves you, cares about you, and has come to bless you and to strengthen you. God's goal in your life is a wholeness you've never known or tasted before. God wants to heal your marriages. God wants to open doors of understanding. God wants to bless you with the fullness of His Spirit. God came into the world to save sinners. Paul said He was the chief of sinners. But we each maybe deserve that title. But then we understand the Christmas message. And so now as we sing the Silent Night, let's enjoy the light that it brings and the message. Here we go.
Silent Night, Holy Night, oh. Glory to you. Heavenly host, sing Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Lord, we praise you tonight. We thank you for the gift of this quiet time, for the freedom of our country. We thank you for the privilege of having family, children, and grandchildren. We thank you, Lord, for friends and acquaintances. We thank you, Lord, for this body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities to work and live and be challenged that all of us deal with. Come and make us whole this year. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen.